some other humping land of
tongue twisters, titty twisters, and purple nurples.
It's the gangsters humping land of.
There's some sweet tea in the fridge if y'all are thirsty.
It's the sandal wearing land of. It's the garbage raping land of.
Discarded giant pubic hair.
The suffering of tiny baby cows.
The girthy wang member of your mother.
It's the mother humping land of. It's the mother humping land of. It's the mother humping land of. It's the mother humping land of.
Okay.
All right.
Good. So you can hear me fine, and I can hear your balls in my mouth.
you can hear said. Balls in your mouth?
Yeah.
Those
it's
are
really complicated.
Loud balls.
Yep.
That's not very healthy, I don't think.
Probably not.
They jingle and vibrate, so it like.
Are you bloating a robot right now?
It stimulates your chi somehow.
Okay.
I'm confused.
Okay. So this week, Nick and I watched this movie that was the history of Ryu and Ken from Street Fighter, and it sounded like it was going to be fucking amazing, and it was really fucking awful, but
well,
there was
the
a
thing.
Lot
it
of Hadouken.
It was a really well-made, like, high production value, way better than the 90s Jean-Claude Van Damme Street Fighter movie.
Okay.
But it was like 3 hours long.
Yeah.
And it was Ryu and Ken and their studying years with their master, and then flashbacks to his studying years with his master, and then like this evil guy. It was just fucking terrible.
Oh, I thought you were saying it was like a live action documentary.
It's not a documentary. It's a movie, but it is live action.
It's like a live action movie-mentary of their relationship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of Hadoukens and Shoryukens and really bad digital effects.
That's where my.
But the problem is that it was 3 hours long.
Yeah.
Like it just kept going and going and.
Yeah, you can't Schindler's List a fucking relationship between two Street Fighter characters.
No, because after like 45 minutes, you're like, I don't give a fuck about about their master's master struggle with his niece and trying not to be evil or something, something.
Right, turns out I'm not a douche, but, you know, yeah, I understand.
Also, tonight we watched this movie called
Wolf Cop. He's a cop in a small town who becomes a werewolf, but he keeps being a cop when he's a werewolf, and so he fights crime as a werewolf.
Yeah, he puts his cop outfit on over his werewolf body, and he also has sex with, like, a witch shapeshifter that's, like, 200 years old, and it's really weird. It's really, really weird because they keep showing him with his, like, fake rubber wolf hands grabbing her tits. It's just weird.
I'm already, sign me up because it's fake rubber werewolf hands grabbing tits. Yes.
It's at Hastings if you want to go rent it. Wolf Cop.
Well, Wolf Cop, and then now in 2015, Wolf Cop 2 is coming, so you can look forward to that.
The search for more tits?
The search for more Wolf Cop?
That's awesome. I like that.
Also, last weekend, Nick and I went to the Kansas City Comic Con.
That was pretty good.
Jay,
if you get a chance, and like, there's a Comic Con anywhere near where you live, just fucking.
Boise, Idaho? No.
Oh,
yeah.
I was trying not to identify for the sound,
point.
But.
There's not Comic Cons around here, dude.
There probably will be at some point because it's an up and coming town.
I mean,
but
you may have to go to, like, Seattle or Salt Lake or something, but
Salt Lake.
Dude,
fucking, are you kidding me?
We're Mini Portland. Mini Portland doesn't have it. Salt Lake is full of
Mormons.
Salt Lakeans.
Mormons.
I was just trying to keep it real for our Mormon audience
members.
You're
gonna start discriminating against our
Mormon
audience
because they're going to be. Like,
we have a pretty huge Mormon following, I've been told.
That's how I got my nickname in college of Joseph Smith II.
Yep.
We also did go see the Book of Mormon.
The musical. It was amazing.
Yeah, which, I heard that's coming to the Morrison Center here.
It
so
is. You should go see it because it is so offensively hilarious that it's fantastic.
Dawn was talking about it. It was fucking awesome. I was remembering back to when we were in college and Team America World Police came out.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we were stoned as shit, if I recall.
I'm sure.
Or drunk. Or both. Yeah, it was definitely both. And that was just fucking, like, mind-blowingly stupid to go see that show. It was great.
But also amazing. That's kind of how the Book of Mormon is. It's really, really offensive, I think, to a lot of people, but it's also so, so, so fucking funny.
It's actually, like, if you remember the Mormon episode of South Park, it's like 2 hours of that, basically, that level of offensive, and then has basically the same wrap-up message that you can believe whatever the fuck you want, and it doesn't matter.
Right. Joseph Smith, the dun-dun-dun-dun-dum-dum-dum-dum. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, what cool. have you, I mean, so you're in Vegas right now, but you've been doing other things, I assume, like.
I have been doing no other things. I am currently in Vegas. Yesterday was St. Patty's Day in Vegas.
Woo.
And so there were some peeps doing some stuff covered in green.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Other than that, no, I've been doing a lot of kung fu to prepare to kung fu stuff.
For like Grandmaster. What do you mean, prepare to kung fu stuff?
I have a test coming up in mid May for shit, so.
For like that's your pretty much what I've been up black to. Belt or something?
A triple.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Holy fucking dicks, dude.
Is this the test where you become Batman?
Not yet, no.
Oh, God.
Is that the next one?
No, I'm still a wee gay. It actually says that on my belt stripe, so no homosexuals who are our fans and listening to this right now, please don't take offense. That's actually what it says on my belt stripes.
Well, that basically means that all gay people are fucking double black belts.
So. Yeah, which is super fucking rad, so it's a total compliment.
Yeah, so good job, gay people, for being black belts and everything.
Cyber high five. Whoop, whoop.
And with that, maybe we should talk about some stories.
Hey, maybe we have some episodes to record.
It has been a bit.
It has been a little while, but our audience doesn't really know that because internet time.
Well, no. Yeah, because the last 8 episodes have been super cyber dumped on them at once.
Precisely, and they are silly fucks and they don't know.
And hopefully my prediction from the intro hasn't come true and anyone went completely insane listening to our show. And did something terrible, like create a real-life titty dick highway.
Listening back over those things, you are pretty fucked up, Nick Weeks.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, but if you remember, followed up what I said was something equally as fucked up.
Yeah, I heard the episode, but I don't believe it.
You just edited out the part that you said?
Yep.
Makes sense to me.
So, who wants to go first, I guess, is the question.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know. I'll go first. I'll volunteer.
Okay. Holy shit.
I will volunteer, right?
I can dig it. Let's do it.
All
right. Do we want to have a cut right here before we start the next, or do you want to just have this be the lead into the first story?
Well, now you've been talking about having a cut.
We can edit that in post.
We don't really edit things in post.
We're at
I do.
8 minutes flat, basically.
No, we'll just keep going, and then we'll fix it.
Yeah, just roll with it, and then we'll stop after Mel's.
We'll fix it in post.
I think it's going to be a running theme where we just say, like, we'll fix this in post, and then we just leave it, because
we're lazy. Nothing happens, yes.
That's hard.
Okay.
Racism, child rape. We'll fix it in post.
Racist child rape? Is that what I just
said? No, I think there were 2 separate problems that we were supposed to fix.
I combined them into 2.
Yeah. No, we should combine them into a super, super bad thing. Yeah.
All right. Are you guys ready for this?
So ready. Yes. Okay. A brand new story, too. Well, okay.
I'm about to show you kin in my pants.
Okay. My story is called The Shower of Solitude and Other Tales of Magic.
Ooh. Okay. I'm with you.
I can't. Okay, I'm going. The twilight sky filled with a flash of blindingly bright purple, followed by the silvery glow of cascading stars. distantly, I heard a loud, "Harumph!" Then, the sky filled with an intense and pulsating auburn cloud, which was quickly followed by the noxious smell of 100 horses on their periods, which, in case you don't know, is really incredibly noxious. But only those small pygmy horses? Regular horse periods smell just fine. Or so I've been told. Not like I would know that. I mean, why would anybody know that? So, the sky was full of bright lights and nasty horse period smell.
Poetry in words. I like it.
Slightly louder this time, I heard, "Gods damn it! I must get it right! Nay, I will get it right, even if it kills me!" Another flash of light in the sky. This time, the world turned the color of a brilliant sapphire, and miniature seahorses appeared in undulating waves, mimicking the roll of a large sea's tides.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
Much better than
the horse
period.
Yeah, that was very nice.
A gasp escaped my lips before I could stop it. Although I had seen fantastical magical light shows like this for nearly every year of my life in the village called Something, the magnificence of the lights and the brilliance of my captor never escaped me. Cut to the scene inside the mysterious castle. A great behemoth of what appeared to be a man skulked in and out of the room in the basement of the once great castle. The walls in the basement were damp and glistened with a shimmery residue of spent magic, which looked a lot like the shimmery residue of spent penises, otherwise Ooh. Known as cum.
Thank you for elaborating.
So spells are basically jizzing?
I guess.
Okay.
The bricks were gray and solid, but provided the room with no warmth. The blackened stove in the corner was full to the brim with flames and wood, but its heat did not reach the corners of the room where the man seemed to be spending most of his time. He was muttering to himself, "Magic, magic wizard, magic stuff. Carry the herb and add a frog's twat. By Gollum, I think I've got it this time." With that, the large man went to the window, popped the golden latch, pushed the glass outward, and whispered into the blustery winds, "By gods and dragons, Dick, take these pods and make them tricks." He blew into his cupped hands, and the faintest green powder could be seen floating into the starlight. The wizard cursed under his breath, "Flying frog stomps and fuzzy fupas! I fucked it again!" As he was turning away from the window, the sky behind him erupted in an explosion of tangerine speckled with drops of lemon that fizzed to a slow fade while citrusy smells of fruits wafted around the night.
Fuck.
And harumph! And gods damn it, you kids get off my damn lawn! He yelled out the window to the group of teenagers that were necking underneath his fireworks show on the lawn. And aside, wait, Sabella, is that you? I thought you told me you had to wash your hair tonight. Is that fucking Chuck? Are you kidding me right now? Chuck?
Oh,
of
Chuck.
All the people in the land of, you're making out with Chuck? Underneath Wizard Chizik's nightly golden showers? I can't fucking believe this. Seriously. Wait, are you seriously putting your bra on right now? I can't even. That's it. We're breaking up. Have fun with Chuck.
You don't fuck with Chizik in his golden showers.
Golden showers are nice.
Wizard golden showers, no less.
Magical.
The kids on the lawn scurried into the dark, but Chizik, the jizzin' wizard, knew they would be back. Chizik ducked his head back into the window, and his large nature became quite clear when he bumped his dappled gray head on the stones of the ceiling above him. In profile, the wizard was roughly 7.5 feet tall, give or take a foot or two.
Wait.
Seven
that's
and a half
pretty
feet
rough.
Tall, so 6 feet or 9
yeah.
feet?
Okay.
It's a rough measurement.
He had a long, pointy wizard beard that hung to his navel, which meant his beard was about three feet long or so. The dark hair of his beard was speckled with various hues of color, cerulean, fuchsia, ochre, and emerald, to name a few. From his nightly light shows. In a few more years, the black-gray of his hair would disappear completely into a kaleidoscope of many more vibrant shades. He wore a long coat that dusted the floor when he moved. The coat, too, was stained with residue from his multi-hued experiments. The once blue-gray material was matted and pocked with splotches and swatches of all the rainbow, of all of the rainbows of the land of, not just the wizard's rainbows.
Fuck.
The only thing in all of the basement workspace that remained untouched by colored was the wizard's hat itself. The hat was conical and added nearly 2 feet to Chizik's gigantuesque stature. The base color of the hat was a dark shade of silver, and surrounding the rest of the headpiece were lighter, silvery stars of every size. All in all, when Chizik chose to venture out of his basement, the ladies, gents, mares, and sows alike were duly impressed.
Duly.
Chizik closed the window behind him by reaching one of his lengthy arms back. As he turned to face the gray-stoned basement, he said, "Damn it! Another night! Another god's damn night! And I am no closer to setting the captured one free! For 20 years I have been trying every night, but I have been unable to find the magical light spell that will break the curse of the Shower of Solitude."
Dun-dun-dun!
Cut to...
That's scary. Okay. Hey.
I know. Collect yourself. cut to the scene inside the Shower of Solitude. The young woman sat with her pale arms crossed on the ledge of the only stone window within the Shower of Solitude. You see, the name of the shower was a bit of a misnomer because the room wasn't exactly solid, it had one window, and it wasn't exactly a shower. It had a drain and a shower head, but it also had a twin-size bed, a small oak dresser, and a chestnut vanity with a slight worn looking glass. The legend is that the solid Shower of Solitude got its name from a time when the great adventurer Baruch had been off adventuring, and he brought a fair maiden back to his tall tower.
No.
I wonder if he's related to Fradshaw.
Or Baruch.
Baruch? The father of bottles? Is this a fucking origin story? You are killing me. Okay. Sorry, go on.
When Baruch removed his knight's armor, the fair maiden exclaimed, "My, that's a solid shower you have, Baruch," while fanning herself, and then she fainted and fell out the window to the stone path below. Obviously, things did not turn out well for the maiden, who had mere bones made of calcium and not a stronger metal substance.
so wait, waiting for Wolverine, I guess?
While the maiden's statement clearly makes no sense whatsoever, Baruch insisted that he was tormented by the maiden's last words and, as such, made a decree that all showers would, from that day forward, be renamed Showers of Solitude.
That's pretty fucking weird, that is Baruch. Fucking weird.
Thus, we find ourselves with the young, entrapped damsel, Adamaris. She was as fresh as the morning wood of a 15-year-old, and dewy to boot. She was dewy to boot. Also, not entirely unlike the morning wood of a 15-year-old.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for elaborating that further.
Yeah, we didn't grasp it.
Unlike a 15-year-old.
Adamaris' skin was milky and flecked by light brown freckles. Her rampant auburn hair was unruly but beautiful and cascaded down her back and around her body like the lights she had been watching in the sky all evening. Her fern-colored eyes were wide and alert, but also tinged with a notable touch of sadness. Basically, she was totally bone-worthy, and, had she not been stuck in a tower, her image alone would have likely filled many knights' apprentices' bank banks.
Fuck yeah.
Like a 15-year-old.
I'm with you. Okay. Sigh. When will That's I how get she's... out of this place? While I love to view the lights every evening, I long to roll in the grass with those people. The game they're playing looks like so much fun with all of the squeals of delight and mirth. Truly, I just long to set foot outside of the solid Shower of Solitude. She sighed again, sigh, and returned to staring outside. In the distance, Adamaris could see a rock giant trundling up the uneven, mismatched cobblestone path leading towards the castle. The rock giant was dove gray in color and had a very uneven skin surface due to the multitude of different sized rocks that made up his body. Atop his head sat a green boulder cap, askew at a slight angle as though to promote an air of jauntiness. Mm-hmm. Although the rock giant was still some distance away, Adamaris blushed furiously when she caught a glimpse of his hanging rock dong.
Yep.
Yeah.
The rock giant lumbered over the pitches and descents on the path with no trouble. Adamaris sat at her window watching the rock giant for quite some time, and soon his large frame began to grow even larger as he came closer to the castle. She thought she could make out a whispering on the breeze. Check out my gravel dick. A mystery and dongness. Putang is a clan that I travel with. Check out my gravel dick.
I'm glad to see that gangster rap has made it to the rock giant community.
When he reached the concluding line, he grabbed his rock dong and swung it around in the air like a helicopter while turning about in
place. Yeah! Gangster style.
Yeah.
Which is the only way to manage your gravel dick.
Within a short amount of time, the rock giant was nearly upon the castle. Adamaris called down to him, "Excuse me, sir? Sir Rock Giant?" The giant stopped mid-step and looked about confused and panicked. "Sir Rock Giant, up here, the last window of the last room in the castle, please," Adamaris said patiently. The rock giant swung his mighty head back and forth, nearly toppling his jaunty boulder cap while searching for the source of the voice. Adamaris sighed again while picking up a small pebble from the floor of her solitary room. She tossed the pebble out the window towards the rock giant. However, his skin was so thick and made of rocks already that he didn't feel the tiny pebble at all. "Sir Rock Giant, I am just a lonely young woman trapped in a tower. Won't you please rescue me?" Adamaris implored, her voice rising slightly in tone and pitch as she began to panic slightly. The rock giant was the first creature she had seen who might actually be able to help her, and she was desperate for escape. The rock giant finally tilted his head up towards the window where the maiden was looking out. "Good day, young lady. What, pray you, are you doing up in that tower all alone? The day is so beautiful and ripe for plucking fresh apples from the neighbor's trees. You really shouldn't waste it sitting inside playing your wizard Xbox."
I also love that the rock giant's apparently from Wales.
Yeah, he's definitely British.
The slightly standoffish rock giant began to turn on his heel to continue down the path. "Wait!" Adamaris yelled. "I desperately need your help, Sir Rock Giant. You see, I'm imprisoned in the shower of solitude in the castle of the great Jizzen Wizard Chizik. Won't you please, kind Sir Rock Giant, help me escape this torturous solitude?" "Well, why didn't you simply say this, young lady? It is my duty as a kindly rock giant to rescue any maidens who present themselves to me and are in need of rescuing." The rock giant tipped his green boulder hat towards the young woman while bowing slightly.
Boulder hat? Like bowler hat, but boulder. Oh, God, yep. That's so fucking clever.
Hey, funny as shit.
"I am, dear young one. I'm known throughout the village called Something and the Land of as Jotun the Kind and Merciless. It is a pleasure to make your acquaintance. Now, let us work on freeing you from this tower." Jotun sat cross-legged beneath the tower, and he and Adamaris began to scheme. ...
Oh!
Oh, fuck!
Oh my God, that is such a serious cliffhanger.
Don't do that!
I had to, because...
Cheese! Not geez, but cheese!
Yes, cheese. Cheese indeed.
Sure. Like Linden fucking Berg.
Extra sharp cheddar.
Lindenberg.
That's a cheese, right?
No.
No, Limburger is a cheese.
Oh.
With
Lindenberger, baby. Baby. No, wait.
That's the Hindenburg.
No,
Charles
baby.
Lindbergh?
The
wait, Lindenberg.
Yeah.
So, yes, Lindenberg is actually just a nonsense word combined with like four other things. But
wait, did we just fail history?
Yes.
Possibly.
Yes, in like four, we combined four events into one word to make a cheese that doesn't exist, but it should.
We're just being efficient.
I actually actually think we just made history better by making all of those things. Absolutely. Make sense.
That should be a cheese that flies across the Atlantic without stopping, crashes a Zeppelin and kills it, and kidnaps a baby to make a delicious cheese.
Yes, I agree. Okay, approved. History rewritten.
Done. Nailed it.
The two people who are listening to this right now, correct your fucking history books right now.
Yeah.
Wait, you mean me and Mel?
Yeah.
No.
Yes. Oh, the two people besides actually. Us.
Beyond the three of us. Mm-hmm. Assuming that there are two other persons. Mel, that was fucking awesome.
It was.
Thank you.
Awesome. Terribly descript, like.
Yes.
Very, very descriptive to where, you know, you actually have a way with words and make me visualize things inside my head, which is strange.
Like some kind of writer.
Makes me feel weird.
Yeah, like you have some kind of penchant for the English language or something. Strange.
Like a storyteller. No,
that was fucking awesome. That was great.
Yeah, I really felt like that. It was like my best story, basically.
The environments and the outfits and everything. It was so detailed.
Yeah, I mean, it was descriptive. And then there's like three different stories. Your cut twos.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to leave it open for the future writers.
I can see that, and it terrifies me.
Oh my god, damn it, woman! I'm going to be person who's going to have to continue that, and I have no idea what the hell I'm going to do with it.
We did, Jesse, we should tell you that we expanded the land of to include a place called the Land of Neverending Fireworks. Or not the land of, but...
No, it's not the land of. Gotcha. There's just a field, basically, a corner
general
of
vicinity
of, which has neverending fireworks over it, and that comes out of this story.
Yeah.
The region of? Okay.
Yeah. Yes,
a region of neverending fireworks in the sky.
Cool. All
right.
That's as exciting as 14 dicks in my mouth.
And on that
which...
I've been blowing two forks.
And
What? Septupled.
The Land of thanks you for wasting your time listening to this shit. Your mother would be very proud of your perseverance. Be sure to maintain a tight grip on your genitals until next time. Jesse, Mel, and Nick will be back again soon to take a pee-pee in your ear holes.
It's the mother humping land of.